Welcome to the Healer Hip Hop Podcast. I am Mel, and it's my honor to introduce the today's guest. A young man in South Africa is blessed with a golden voice that carries music from soul to soul. The first time I saw him on TV with the a cappella group The Soil, my heart started singing with him. He is an extraordinary artist of the new generation, spreading his message over the internet, which brings him close to the people. With his 23 years, he is already a remarkable musician, seen by the world, facing a bright future of a big artist. I proudly present today at the Healer Hip Hop Podcast, Langa Mavuzo, a young voice from South Africa making music from the heart. Enjoy!
It's been ages since I saw you. It's been ages since I got to meet you. Pictures faded just like they do, and the memories they fade. These are the conversations.
Thank you very much for accepting to take an interview.
It's only a pleasure.
With the Healer Hip Hop Podcast. I welcome you. You are a South African singer. You have an amazing voice.
Thank you.
You also a songwriter? Do you write your songs?
I write all of my own songs.
Wow. And you say you are from Johannesburg and Cape Town. It's like you were born in Johannesburg?
I was born and raised in Johannesburg, and I lived in Cape Town for a while, but I'm back in Johannesburg now.
Oh, you are?
So yes, I am.
You feel connected to both?
I do. I love Cape Town. It's my escape. It's got a good balance in terms of quality of life. It's a beautiful city with lots of nature, beautiful ocean, beautiful mountains. The air's cleaner down there.
Really?
And the people are just a little bit more relaxed than in Joburg. It's kind of like the LA of South Africa. It's very chilled. And then Johannesburg is more of the cosmopolitan city. It's busy like New York. It's
like
also
New York. Okay.
it's our financial hub as well. So Yeah, it's a bit busier here, and people are more in a hustle in Johannesburg than in Cape Town. So, yeah, I enjoy different elements of both cities.
I can imagine. Okay, so I want to talk about your music today and, well, your journey as an artist.
Okay.
I'd like to know, I read that you were born to two musicians, or at least they were singers. Both of your parents were singing.
Yeah, so both of my parents met in a choir. There's a big choral culture in South Africa at some point. Well, at least when I was growing up, and they used to do a lot of choir competitions. And that's how that was my upbringing. I grew up around my parents singing in the house, as well as my holidays were spent with them. So if I was there at the weekend or during school holidays, most of the time they were in rehearsals or they were at competitions, and I would come along with them. So I think that's where the music bug kind of got me, and I found my own voice eventually and kind of ran with it and started to try to hone the skill and talent. That's my upbringing.
You said you were with your parents mostly during the holidays and the weekends. So you were at a boarding school?
So this is very early. This is about 4 until 6. I used to live with my grandmother.
Ah, okay.
And my parents lived elsewhere. And then I moved in with my parents when I turned 6.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I really started to stay with them. And then when I got to high school, then I left and I went to stay in a boarding school. I think in the international community, you guys call it a magnet school. I went to an art school for high school.
Ah, okay.
So I stayed at the school. So and my discipline was music.
I read that you chose this school on purpose so that you could sing.
Yes, I did. So I watched the film Fame, right? And
I don't know it. Is it in with who? And
it's an American movie.
Mm-hmm.
Based in New York, about these kids who want to go to this art school.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a high school, so they can do academics and art at the same time, and a portion of the day would be dedicated to academics and a portion of the day will be dedicated to your arts. So I wanted to go to a school like that, and I found that school in South Africa. And I went there for high school, and I studied music there. I studied classical music.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. But eventually you found that you wanted to do more jazz music, was it? Or different?
I kind of wanted to move away from classical because it was kind of very structured in a sense and very strict in
mm-hmm.
the way that you execute it and the way that you perform it.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted something a little bit more expressive and gave you room to kind of be yourself, a little bit more emotive, I guess. I mean, classical music is very emotive. But yeah, so I found that jazz was kind of a free genre of music where you get to improvise, you get to express yourself a lot. So I kind of went into jazz for that reason. And I also wanted to continue the academic music studying so that I could hone the skill of arranging as well as just vocal technique and things like that.
And now you do. You have published, as far as I could see, 2 albums on SoundCloud. Is that right?
Yeah, I've had 2 EPs out on SoundCloud.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now I'm working on my album, now that I've signed a record deal. So that's what's happening.
Oh, you did? Because I read that you said you think music should be free and it should be an invitation to an event like a concert or...
Yeah. Oh, my God. Your research is crazy. Yeah. I do believe that music should be free. I think that artists should create their body of work and share it with people and kind of start to make the monetary, start to monetize themselves in the performance space where they allow people to experience the music in real time and kind of witness the emotion in like a raw sense, but also see, have an experience of the music that's been curated by the artist for their pleasure. So, mm-hmm. yeah, but I don't think my record label's gonna agree with my beliefs on having music given up for free. Yeah,
you can do both. Like there are at least two artists that come to my mind that did both. One is
Chance the Rapper.
The Purple Rain singer. I'm sorry that I, how can I forget Prince? Yeah.
Prince.
How could I forget? He gave out some music, a lot of his music for free because he believed in that too. And the other is my favorite singer, Erykah Badu. She said being at a concert is performing is perfecting a moment. It's creating a moment, and making an album is perfecting a moment. So these two different things. So you can do both. You can do the album to have a perfect piece of art and then still, perform. Because this is a whole different experience for the listener.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with that.
I saw some of your performances, some of which you were alone and some of which you were with other singers, for example, the group The Soil. Tell me a little bit about the music scene. I'm not familiar with the music scene in South Africa. For example, in Germany, it feels like they are all united and they do things together. Is it like that in South Africa as well? Do you support each other?
I think it's starting to be like that in South Africa, where you're seeing a lot of support amongst the musicians.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's always been like that. There's kind of a camaraderie in the music business. But the tricky thing is that you'd usually see already established musicians supporting other established musicians and collaborating in that sense. But now I think with the rise of the internet and the rise of just kind of like having a platform that's your own, that you can build your own audience in, the established musicians are starting to see that there's talent out there and it doesn't have to be on your TV screen every day, but it is worth kind of tapping into. And now we're seeing more and more artists starting to open themselves up to working with unknown talent as much and sort of collaborating and helping each other out throughout the journey. So I think I've had a pretty good journey. I've had a lot of support from established people, some that I've known from the schooling environment and some that I've known from experience of performing as a session musician, as well as doing like corporate gigs for companies when they have like an annual meeting and then they want some entertainment, and I used to come and sing covers. So you start to meet other musicians who don't just play corporates but who play with a big artist and all of that kind of thing. So the more you work in the business, the more people you meet, the more relationships and friendships you can create for yourself. So I think the culture and music society in South Africa is really becoming more and more inclusive of new artists.
Great. Do tribes or the belonging to a tribe, does that matter?
Not really, because I think most South Africans speak English, and then you'll have your respective culture. And within that, I think the only differences we may have are just language. But I think most South Africans speak about three or four languages, because there's 11 languages in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll hear a lot of Zulu, even if you're not Zulu, and Xhosa and Sotho. So at some point in your life, you're going to interact with someone from a different culture, whether it's in primary school, because we're not separated in kind of like where we exist, because you're the country is diverse, so your schooling system is diverse, your home experience is diverse, so your neighbor could be like a completely different culture than you are, and your best friend could be like someone from a completely different culture than you are, and that exchange from like a very young age growing up, it sort of makes it. I don't think there ever is a hindrance when it comes to collaboration and working together.
That's great to hear. We have something similar in Germany, but for different reasons. We had a lot of workers coming here from Italy and Russia and Turkey in the 1960s. And their children, of course, grew up with just us. So it happened here too. Like you had friends with different cultures, and then you automatically know some words in Turkish or Russian or Italian. Yeah, that's great. What kind of music do you listen to?
So it depends on my mood, right? I listen to a lot of old soul music, so Donny Hathaway, Luther Vandross, nice. Marvin Gaye, Otis Redding. Those are my favorite male singers ever. But I also listen to a lot of jazz, your Miles Davis, your Billy Eckstein, your Ella Fitzgerald, some South African jazz musicians as well, your Hugh Masekela, Abdullah Ibrahim, Begum Selegu. And also, I listen to a lot of music from now. I love Frank Ocean.
Oh, yeah.
I love Quabs. He's from the UK.
Yeah, I know him.
SZA. There's a lot of musicians that I listen to. And I don't know, it changes with time. But there's some musicians that I listen to all the time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's a rapper in Chicago that I listen to a lot. Her name is No Name. I think she's the coolest. Yes.
Where's she from?
She's from Chicago.
Okay. I'll check her out.
I think she's the coolest rapper ever. Cool. And I love Anderson .Paak as well. Mm-hmm. Solange and Kate Carter.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I'm not surprised because it shows in your music.
Yeah.
Like all the collaborations you did, they had some tribal elements or some in different languages.
Yes.
At some parts of the music, but the songs that you've or that I've listened to from you, they very much remind me of the soul music, like Solange and Frank Ocean, that kind of not to put you in a box, but
I love them. It's only an honor to put in the same box. I love them.
So my podcast is called The Healer Hip Hop. In which ways is music a healer to you, or has been a healer to you?
I think through music, I found sort of an avenue to face things in my life, like grief and loss and heartbreak. And I think through performance of the music, I allow myself to be a vessel and share stories that people relate to, and through helping heal them or seeing them relate to something and feel like they're not alone, I find healing in that we're not alone in this world. We're not the only one to go through heartbreak and grief and loss. So I think that avenue of just like me being able to put all of my feelings down on a page and then into some sonic realm, really, that's the healing for me. But what makes it even better for me is when I see someone else, or when I hear someone else tell me that, oh my God, I was going through such a hard time and I was listening to the music, or I had a date with someone and I was playing your music just to woo them. So just being a part of people's life without physically being there or in any other way but being a part of their memories and their journey, it's a beautiful thing for me. And I think there's a beautiful healing that happens through that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you know the song The Healer Hip Hop by Erykah Badu?
I do.
And yeah. in it she sings, it's bigger than the government.
Yeah.
Bigger than religion, bigger than the people. Do you believe, in which ways have you experienced that it can be bigger than all of that?
I think whatever people believe in, God, universe, the earth, I think that art is a form of prayer.
Mm.
And I think when you go into a state of prayer, you sort of forget about your individual kind of like power or your individual status, but you humble yourself and you give it up to something greater than yourself. And I think that music does that for a lot of people. It's a force that is greater than all of us, and that can bring us together, and a force that can break barriers amongst people who don't believe in the same thing, people who don't speak the same language, people who don't see the world in the same way, but because they relate to a feeling and they relate, and because they can enjoy the music, it breaks down all the barriers. So I think it is bigger than religion, because religion can sometimes separate us, and the government has in history separated us in many ways. So
yes,
it's a unifying force that nothing can overcome, you know.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I'm doing this podcast. Yeah. To show that. Okay, so tell us a little bit more about your plans for the future. You're working about your album, but what other plans, maybe for the longer term, do you have? What's your vision?
I would love to make lots of music, but my bigger vision is to eventually have enough money to start a music kind of program where we can implement it through government into rural schools and township schools to create a music education for those kids who aren't as privileged as I have been in my life, so that they can explore their talents and they can explore their interest in music and kind of give them the space to explore their talents and to hone their talents, but also teach them that this is something that they can do for the rest of their lives and they can actually make a living off of it. So hopefully it will be a kind of program that has music teaching and workshops, but as well as music business, music business workshops. I really want kids in my continent to know that, like, regardless of where they come from, if there's something special in their heart that's just beating inside of them and wants to come out, they're allowed to explore it and they're allowed to learn about it and hone it so that they can do it for the rest of their lives. And maybe we'll have our next Fela Kuti or our next Miriam Makeba, because we need those spaces where young musicians are, regardless of what they have and where they come from, they're given fertile ground to grow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a great vision. Germany needs that too. For example, my son, he plays the drums in his spare time as a hobby. But at school, he has a five, which is an E in American system in music, just because he didn't learn all the, I don't know, about some musician of 1600, which takes all of the, he doesn't feel very motivated by the way music is brought to them, like, just play music.
And also, I think classical theory is important and all of that, but also I think that just because you're not interested in classical theory or the classical method of teaching, it doesn't mean that your talent or your interest should be diminished or kind of made to feel like it's not as important because it doesn't fit into this mold that was used 1600 years ago. Because if music doesn't reflect the times that we exist in now, then what's the point of it, you know? We can't be forcing kids to only engage with music from Bach and Stravinsky and Mozart when they want to, like, maybe he wants to drum to an Anderson Park song, you know? And Anderson Park is very relevant to now because he speaks about the things that happen now, and his experiences are very 21st century. And I think it was Nina Simone who said, the artist's duty is to reflect the times.
Wow.
You know? So I think learning the history of something can be important if you want to learn it in that kind of way, like I did. But I don't think it's the only method that can be used to give kids the opportunity to explore their musical talents. They don't have to like classical music to be musicians.
Yes, and especially that shouldn't be the first thing you learn about music. The first thing should be you play music and have fun. Just recently I interviewed a singer from Germany, and he's teaching as a side project. He's teaching younger kids to how to sing and arrange songs. And he said he's teaching not music, but self-esteem.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I like that phrase too, because that's very true. Because actually, if you explore your voice and what you can express with it, that's a huge part of becoming you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So would you like to tell me a little bit more about your album? How will the music be?
I'm not too far into the album, to be honest with you. I'm still very much in the writing and arranging process of the album.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be still very urban soul with some jazz influence, but also there'll be more of a South African stamp on some of the songs and the collaborations that I'll be having on the album.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think what's coming before the album is I should have two music videos out before the end of the year.
Okay.
I should have the Black Coffee collaboration released by then. And I should have a couple of new singles as well. So I just think if people follow me on social media or whatever platform that they choose to follow me on, the music will be readily available for them to consume.
I will link to that. I want as many people as possible to follow your music. Oh. It's great. It touched me very much. Okay, Langa. Thank you very much for the interview.
Thank you.
Yeah, I wish you all the best for your upcoming projects. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how that sounds like and how you develop and how your album develops.
Awesome. I really appreciate that. It means the world to me.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Playing the games that
juice. I can't face like silly Jews. Made me shake all my pretty hues. Shaped blues, they're Baldwin. Don't fall in love too easily. The beautiful ones, they trick with ease. Don't lose your mind to these MCs. Rhyming's just a sort of release. 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 I found love in an empty room. Empty room. It made me shake all my burning hues. Your smile leading symphonies, a tribute deed to fallen kings. It's what we do when we breathe in love. The heart needs what it needs. And to you, my love. You turn away, no way. Me nang turn away, no way. If you know, no way. Tanda when I wait, why? You tanda when I wait, why? Me and Tanda when I wait, why? You tanda when I wait.
It's on the way, no way.